We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, live from the ESPN West Palm Studios. Here's Mike Rizzo. You see the pink
smoke? Preseason finally over. And games that actually mean something on those tables. Welcome on in, folks. This is Pink Smoke here on ESPN 106.3 with our good friends at Inter Miami. Going to be a real exciting season for our Inter Miami Herons coming up. We're going to get to know the coach a little later on in the show. Javier Mascherano, his first year as head gaffer with the Inter Miami Herons. We're going to hear from him later on in the show as well on his coaching style, the style of play he wants from his team, and what exactly we're going to see out on the pitch from head coach Javier Mascherano and obviously his time at Barcelona with the big four, you know, with Luis Suarez, who played at Barcelona along with Messi, Jordi Alba, and Sergio Busquets. This is an Inter Miami team that is returning a lot of the team that had 74 points on that table last year, an MLS record within the league. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this team coming up, and I am thrilled to be a part of Inter Miami coverage for the 2025 season. Later on in the show, we are going to be speaking to Glenn Crooks. He is the play-by-play man for the NYFC Radio Network. We're going to check out what's exactly going on with NYFC and what they got going on with their team this year. That's going to be Inter Miami's first MLS matchup coming up this Saturday. So, folks, if you haven't heard, the game got moved. It's a 7:30 kickoff now. It was originally scheduled for 2:30, but coming up this Saturday is the MLS debut of Inter Miami at Chase Stadium in Fort Lauderdale against NYCFC at 7:30. And as I said, at about 6:20, we are going to be speaking to Glenn Crooks, the play-by-play announcer for NYCFC. I hope everyone's having a fantastic night. Inter Miami is actually getting the ball rolling tonight. Inter Miami playing tonight, and I'll tell you what, it's going to be a cold one. And all my soccer fans out there who are up late, like myself, watching the Colorado Rapids and the LAFC do battle in CONCACAF Champions Cup play, it was 4 degrees. It was 4 degrees last night in Colorado at the Colorado Rapids home stadium. And LAFC ended up losing that game 2-1, a team who was definitely a favorite heading into that game. We'll see if the cold weather is going to be doable for Inter Miami coming up tonight. But 4 degrees coming up tonight for our Herons at Kansas City. And that's exactly what we're getting, a CONCACAF Champions Cup matchup between Sporting FC and Inter Miami at 8 p.m. tonight. For those of you who are watching on the television side, that is going to be on FS2. Now, Inter Miami ended their preseason tour 4-0-1. They had 4 wins and 1 draw. They had 4 wins and 1 draw. And one thing I know for certain that we're going to be seeing coming up from this Javier Mascherano-led Inter Miami Herons squad, there are going to be a lot of goals. There are going to be a lot of goals, and this is going to be a team who is going to be a very ball-dominant team. And how can't you when you have Luis Suarez and Lionel Messi up top? You know, this is going to be a team that's going to be fluctuating around Messi. Messi's going to be coming off of that right wing again. You know, if we could take what Inter Miami did during the preseason for face value, I'm expecting to see a 4-3-3. And Sergio Busquets going to be kind of playing that box-to-box slash holding role defensive mid. Busquets, throughout his entire career, not only for Inter Miami, Busquets was a really good defensive mid. And that's exactly what he brings to Inter Miami. And he's really going to be the one holding the fort down on that defensive pivot. As far as other midfielders, we're going to have Segovia, Telesco Segovia. He's a new transfer. We'll meet the transfers here a little later on in the show. But the projected 11 that is going to be for Inter Miami, you got Tadio Ashende coming on the left wing. You got Luis Suarez coming up at striker, and then Messi coming off on that right side. Your midfield, Segovia, Redondo, and Busquets. And then on that back line, you got Alba, Martinez, Avias, and Lujan. A couple of those guys, I'll say right off the bat, Lujan, Segovia, and Allende, they're new transfers. And I think that these are going to be players that are going to be very important for Javier Mascherano and these Herons coming up this year. I think if you were to ask an Inter Miami fan what this team needed in the offseason, they probably would have told you a center back, and they probably would have told you a midfielder. And they got help at both of those positions. They got help at both of those positions with Segovia coming in from Casapila AC. And they got a plethora of defenders with a right back in Lujan Mali, who's expected to start. And he came on over from San Lorenzo on a $3.3 million transfer. And that was the largest transfer of this window that Inter Miami had before the season. So you're bringing Lujan in to come in and be instant access and instant defense for this Inter Miami squad. This is an Inter Miami squad who had two guys score 21 goals on the MLS season. Luis Suarez had 21 goals, and Lionel Messi had 21 goals as well. Messi also contributed with 11 assists. Messi had 32 scoring contributions between goals and assists. I don't think the thing we're not going to have to worry about this year at this club is going to be scoring goals. They're going to be the best team, I think, in the MLS. In my opinion, I think they're going to be the best team in the MLS. Are they going to be able to be clinical defensively? All the if there are gripes with this team, the weakness of this team last year was turning the ball over. When Inter Miami turned the ball over, it usually turned into a scoring opportunity for the opposite team. Now, Yannick Bright, Italian midfielder who's back again this year, he's going to be playing a lot of the midfield as well. You would assume that Redondo and Bright are probably going to be interchangeable. Maybe Bright some games starts and he's the holding DM, and you got Busquets going box to box a little bit. Now that I think about it, in that final preseason match against Orlando FC in Tampa Bay, Busquets had an incredible goal-saving tackle in the box. Now, a lot of Orlando FC fans thought that it could have been a penalty, thought that he didn't get all ball, but that's why we have replay, right? And Busquets made a great play on the ball and was able to save a goal. I think every game that Inter Miami is going to be going into this year, I think every game they're probably going to have the talent advantage. And they had it last year. And listen, I don't want to sit here and bring up what happened last year, you know, with Atlanta United and what happened in the playoffs. I'm call me old school in my soccer fandom. I know the MLS playoffs is a fun time. I know that it's you know, something a lot of soccer fans get excited for here in the States. But usually the team that is, you know, how it works in any other league, I don't got to tell you soccer fans this, but for my American soccer fans out there, a team that finishes at the top of the table with the most points at the end of the year, they're the champion. And you have a big old party, the final game of the year, whenever it may be, when you clinch the league. And obviously with the record-breaking point total that Inter Miami had last year, if those rules applied, they would have been the champion. But as we know, the playoffs played out, Inter Miami lost, and this is kind of the redemption tour. And with what they have this year, with Ashende, with Suarez, with Messi, I love the Segovia pickup, Busquets, Alba, Martinez, Avias. I really do think that this is going to be the strongest team in the MLS. Any website you go to, if it's MLS.com, if you go to FotMob and read up on the latest on the MLS, this is Inter Miami's. This is their year this year. And obviously there are going to be a lot of good squads on the other side. Galaxy is going to be really good. LAFC obviously is going to be really good. Cincinnati is going to be really good. And a lot of these teams did get better in the offseason. But as far as talent on the field, it's hard to argue what Inter Miami has and what they have brought in. Let's meet those new transfers. So I've mentioned Tadio Ashende a lot during the show. And Ashende is one of those guys who came over from Celta Vigo. And for a $2.5 million fee on a loan fee, break that, all right? This is a guy who's on loan from a La Liga team. La Liga is the top league in Spain. So Tadio Ashende coming over on loan from Celta Vigo, he made a huge impact in the preseason. And really the game that myself and Ken LaVica were on the call for against Orlando FC. He had a great cross-keep goal. He had a great, across the face of the keep from right to left, tucked it in that left corner, and he should have had another goal. It was a whisker left from basically the same side of the pitch. And Ashende is one of those guys who gets in space, is able to handle the ball in space, and win a duel. He's able to win a duel one-on-one with a defender, and that really goes a long way when playing with Lionel Messi, because defenses are going to be focusing on Messi. And Ashende is going to be able to get looks all night, all day long, depending on when the games are played. And I think he's clinical in front of net, too. As I've mentioned, Suarez, 21 goals. Messi, 21 goals. I'm not saying Ashende is going to break 20 goals this season, but I certainly think he's going to be a player that could have probably 12 to 18 goal-scoring contributions between goals and assists. So if I had to pick one, folks, that I'm most excited for, key signings and bringing on in of players this offseason, it would definitely be the young Argentinian Tadio Ashende from Celta Vigo in La Liga, on loan playing for Inter Miami this year. Keeping on down on the transfer signings, Maxi Falcón arrives from a Chilean club, Colo Colo, a powerhouse for that matter. He's a Uruguayan defender that brings nearly 200 matches of football experience to Inter Miami. Falcón, a center back. Remember what I told you? The key, if you were to ask an Inter Miami fan this offseason what they need to bring in the offseason, stack up that midfield and bring in a center back. And Maxi Falcón is one of those center backs that's going to help out Martinez, Avias, and that whole group throughout the year and add depth to the roster. Inter Miami is going to be in a lot of competitions coming up this year. They're going to be in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They're going to be in the League Cup. They're obviously going to be playing in the MLS. They're going to be playing in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Cup. I mean, and then let's not forget the Club FIFA World Cup. They're going to be hosting the inaugural Club FIFA World Cup game, the first game at Hard Rock Stadium against the Saudi Arabian team. So they're going to need a lot of depth on the bench, and I feel like Maxi Falcón does just that with the new signing by Javier Mascherano. Going on down the line, a starter is where we're going next, as I've brought him up. Gonzalo Luan, the Argentinian youth international defender, who is acquired from San Lorenzo. He featured under now Miami head coach Javier Mascherano in the 2024 Summer Olympics. As I mentioned, later on in the show, we're going to get to know coach Javier Mascherano in his first year here at Inter Miami. We'll hear some sound of him talking about his coaching style, his style of play, what he wants to see from his team this year, and exactly where he came from, where his coaching caliber came from. And I alluded that he was coaching a lot of those U20, U23 teams in Argentina the last couple of years. And Gonzalo Luan is certainly a player that he pinpointed before the season to go out and get. So Gonzalo Luan, who we all think is going to be a starting right back for this club coming up this year, is going to be able to make his mark with his new manager, Javier Mascherano. Next is Fafa Picault. And listen, had a lot of fun interviewing Fafa Picault when I was at Inter Miami Stadium a few weeks back. I want to give a couple of shout-outs. Juan Pinzon, who does a great job for us. He is our contact over at Inter Miami. I was fortunate enough to interview Fafa Picault, and he's actually from the Miami area. He split time between New York and Miami. He's of Haitian descent, and he is thrilled to bits to be here and playing for Inter Miami. Now, I know the projected 11 that I read from MLS.com nonetheless had Tadio Ashende starting on that left side. But a lot of those nights, Fafa Picault is going to be starting. And I like Picault because he is a very versatile player who could basically play every position on the attacking side. He could play striker. He could come off the left wing. He could come off the right wing. And I think when push comes to shove, Fafa could probably play an attacking midfielder role. Now, I don't, and this isn't a slight to Fafa Picault. I think he's a great player. I don't know if he'd be able to be physical enough to play that position game in and game out, but certainly off the left side and the right side and up top as a number nine, Fafa Picault can do some serious damage. And this is yet another big signing for the club that was brought in. Fafa came on over from Vancouver. He came on over from Vancouver on a permanent transfer. It was actually a free transfer on over from Vancouver. And I know a ton of people within the organization that are very excited to see Fafa Picault. Next up, and lastly, Telasco Segovia. So Segovia is a Venezuelan international midfielder, a rising one at that fact, was acquired from Portuguese top flight side Casa Pia AC. So, you know, for all my really, really big soccer fans out there, teams like Benfica, you know, historical clubs like Benfica, and that top Portugal division, that's who they're playing. Segovia was also featured at the 2026 FIFA World Cup qualifying match. Segovia, in that last preseason game as well, almost had a beautiful left foot finesse shot goal from the right side of the box early on in that game, and it was a whisker high. It would have been a wonder goal. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the term finesse, you know, when a soccer player kicks a ball and it curves, like say if I'm left-footed and I kick a ball and it goes from left to right and it curves into the net, that's a finesse. Same thing. If you're a right-footer and it curves from right to left, that's a finesse. And if you're a golfer, think of a draw, right? If you're a golfer out there and you got a draw on your drive and you're a righty, it goes from right to left. So that's the best way I could kind of describe a finesse, as I call it, a finesse. But Telasco Segovia, I think, is going to be able to be a big help in the midfield, and he is a midfielder. So I thought Javier Mascherano in the offseason addressed the CB, the center back, and addressed the CM, the center midfielder, with Telasco Segovia as a midfielder and Maxi Falcón as a center back, and he even brought in Gonzalo Luan, who he felt thought did a lot of things for his U23, U20 sides for the Argentinian national team. Folks, we're going to take a timeout, but when we return here on Pink Smoke, we are going to be talking to Glenn Crooks. He is the play-by-play announcer for NYCFC. And for those of you unfamiliar with NYCFC, that is going to be the first opponent that Inter Miami takes on in their first game of the MLS season. We're going to see what NYFC is all about and get his thoughts on the upcoming matchup. That is Glenn Crooks joining the show next, right here on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke, live from the ESPN West Palm Studios. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Folks, joining me now on the Pink Smoke is Glenn Crooks, the play-by-play announcer for NYCFC. Now, Glenn, I did want to focus a little bit on New York because this is a team that, with all terms, had a really good season last year, finished high on the table in the MLS, made a little run in the playoffs. What's kind of the mindset with NYCFC as we enter the 2025 MLS season?
Well, obviously, there wasn't 100% satisfaction because Nick Cushy, the head coach, got sacked by sporting director David Lee. So there were some things, whatever was happening, that we don't always see on a day-to-day basis. But what David Lee referred to was an inconsistency. In his presser, David Lee had one presser here in 2025 in January, and talking about Nick, he said there was a run early in the year where they won 8 of 9, so that's 24 points. And his statistics had they gained only 25 points in the 25 or 26 remaining games outside of that 9-game window where they won 8. So that lack of consistency. And also the guy they brought in, Pascal Janssen, he has a pretty good history of developing players in a manner where a club can maintain, as it was in the Eredivisie with AZ Alkmaar, maintain a top four status develop players so that they can be sold. And that's how Alkmaar operates in Holland. And that's really the way New York City FC is targeted to operate as well. And if you look at their roster and if you look at their recruiting in recent years, there's a lot of young players, a lot of young players from South America. And they're looking to develop those players, move them on. They feel that David Lee in particular, that Pascal Janssen is a better guy for that job.
Now, Glenn, this is a team that also spent $25 million in the transfer market from 2023 and 2024. So not only do they have great academy players, but NYCFC certainly has brought in some good young talent through the transfer market.
Well, two guys that they're looking at in particular this season, and they've got a year under their belt, Agustin Ojeda and Julian Fernandez, a couple of Argentinian youngsters who both have enormous skill. You can see it. They're dynamic on the attacking side. They've had to learn how to put the proper effort and also organization on the defensive side, which I think as time went on, they got better at. But they had very few minutes in the second half of the season. And that was another consideration. Clubs in our league, oftentimes they'll set a goal for how many minutes they want players, let's say, under 23 years old or under 22 years old. And New York City fell a little short of that mark as well because, look, you're also trying to win games and you have to go with the players that you believe truly will give you the best chance to gain points in a particular match. And for Ojeda and Fernandez, they kind of fell into this rut where they were on the bench, but they weren't getting minutes. I look at those two guys in particular, plus a fullback on the right, Mitja Ilinic, ended up beating Tavon Gray for the job last year at a certain point, but he got injured in preseason. He didn't play the last three games at the Coachella Invitational, so I'm not sure of his status. We've got training tomorrow where we'll learn something, and then we hop on the charter and get to Fort Lauderdale tomorrow night. And I just think, along the way, we'll learn a little bit more about these injuries, which also include their DP center back, Thiago Martins, who hasn't played a second competitively in the preseason with what must be a pretty serious calf injury. So that's the sort of the young player thing. The other young player that should be talked about is Jovan Mijatovic, who was loaned to a club, Juven, in Belgium. And he was a guy, 18 years old, came in last year, was not in preseason, came in a little late because of paperwork and such. But there was a high, high anticipation that he would be very productive as a number nine. He wasn't. He also got very few minutes, and they've elected to loan him out to see if maybe he can correct some things there.
Glenn Crooks, the play-by-play announcer for NYCFC, is our guest here tonight on Pink Smoke. Glenn, Alonso Martinez really had a great year last year in the MLS, 17 goals scored. He was right up there with some of the highest scoring guys in the MLS. You mentioned Ojeda as well. From everything that I've read and heard from you, I'm assuming Ojeda is going to be starting up top on the left as well. Is this something that New York City FC is really excited for, the tandem of Martinez and Ojeda?
Well, I think that we're going to see them play together. Now, I don't know if Ojeda is going to be in the starting 11 at Miami. First about Martinez, he scored his first goal ever for New York City in his second season, and it was at Miami after Suarez had scored off that set piece. He scored in the second half to make a 1-1 and gain the draw. That was his very first goal. But he was playing right wing at that point. He was a winger, and eventually he moved into the striker role because a guy named Monta Bakbar, an Algerian, was not getting it done. He was doing things on the defensive side, which a forward that leaves the line. It's very important how they operate defensively, whether they're guiding, not necessarily winning the ball, and Bakbar did that very well. And so he was given a pretty large cushion by Nick Cushing. But eventually, Martinez was just finishing so regularly in training in particular, and then started to in matches, that he took over that role. The reason I say Ojeda might not go along with Martinez is that it might be Bakrar. So Pascal Janssen, and here's where a new coach comes in, and sometimes I think it's very interesting. The players have played a lot of minutes this season before. They're certainly on guard. They have to prove themselves again to a new coach. And then the players that didn't play a lot of minutes or didn't have success on the previous coach, now they've got this new lease on life. Moncef Bakrak, he looked like a somewhat different player. And what I mean by that is there wasn't stress. He played with freedom. He scored a nice goal from Alonso Martinez. So Pascal Janssen started those two together in two of the four games at the Coachella Invitational, which was the most recent list of scrimmages leading into this game at Miami. So it's going to be one way or the other, Ojeda and Martinez or Bakrar and Martinez, in my opinion.
Glenn Crooks, the play-by-play announcer for NYCFC, is our guest here tonight on Pink Smoke. Now, you mentioned new manager Pascal Janssen, and Glenn, you talked a lot about how the proper players need the minutes for NYCFC. Is there any other things that you think Pascal is really trying to fix that didn't go right last year heading into the opener on Saturday in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, one thing would be giving up too many easy chances with balls in behind the defense. So I think the way they're pressing this year, what you might anticipate if they're pressing, which they're pressing very high, and they're pressing in a little bit different manner with Maxi Morales leading the way, which I spoke to him a little bit about, and he chuckled. He goes, yeah, I'm doing a lot of running. Maxi's 37 years old, but he's enjoying it, and he wants to play. And he will play because Santi Rodriguez is, well, it hasn't been officially announced, but I can confirm he's not going to be with the club any longer. So Botafogo is the destination for Santi Rodriguez. So Maxi Morales right now is really the lone 10 on the team, the lone playmaker on the team. You can put a couple of other players in there. And there's a couple of homegrowns, Johnny Shore and Maximo Carrizo, who is with the U-17s. He captained that team that walloped the U.S. Virgin Islands 22-0, and then they advanced to the U-17 World Cup. But so he's back, and there might be a chance we get to see him. He is 17. Johnny Shore is 20, I think. And so it's really interesting how the press will be led by Maxi Morales. And if that first line of the press is broken, I think they're going to do things, based on what I observed just watching the games, where they're going to – maybe that back line will drop a little bit more precipitously to prevent things in from behind, because there were too many balls that were played like that that back group had difficulty dealing with. Thiago Martins and Burke Risa have been the center back pairing for the most part. So that's one thing I noticed. And I think there's a little bit more wing play, i.e. Ojeda and Julian Fernandez, who love to take fullbacks on, Ojeda in particular. And I think that when those two are on the field, I think there's been a more concerted effort to try to isolate them than was accomplished in the past. That's what I've noticed so far. I've only had one lengthy conversation with Pascal, so I haven't really been able to get as deep into the tactics as I would like. Maybe tomorrow I'll get a little bit more out of him, and then we'll go from there. We're still trying to get to know him, you know, because every coach is a little different how they want to, as you know, how they want to handle this stuff. By the way, Pink Smoke, very, I like the title.
You like the name, partner? Very, very creative name, and I got to give a shout-out to our director of ops here, Dave Druda. He came up with, as we call in the business, a lot of fun drops and fun music with it. So, Glenn, I really appreciate you being on Pink Smoke tonight. Once again, Glenn Crooks, the play-by-play announcer for NYCFC, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, let's flip it on over to this Saturday, Glenn. We got Inter Miami facing off against NYCFC. You mentioned that New York's going to want to do a lot of pressing. Inter is a club. If we could take, you know, new manager, you know, you just said every manager is different. If we could take new manager Javier Mascherano for his word, this is going to be a very ball dominant team in Inter Miami. This is going to be a team that's going to want the ball with the likes of Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez. What do you expect to see in this matchup coming up on Saturday at 7:30?
Honestly, I think a lot of it will have to do with who is available, and we're not going to know on the Miami side, I don't think, 100% until they get through this game tonight.
Yep.
This is going to be a physically difficult game. When you're playing in these conditions, and let's face it, now they have one less day of recovery. I know the game was pushed back from 2:30 to 7:30. on Saturday, which I think was the fair thing to do for Miami. So it's five more hours of recovery. But they've lost a full day here by this postponement. Then they have to fly out. I don't know if they're going to come home tonight or tomorrow. If it's tomorrow now, you know, New York City might get into town before they do. That's a factor. But on the New York City side, they were very light in the depth department at the end of the Coachella Invitational. They were playing with a 17-year-old at right back and a rookie out of UCLA at left back, and Drew Byerra and Nick Cavallo, because Kevin O'Toole was down injured, and Mischa Ilinich and Tavon Gray were both banged up as Gray got hurt in that final game. So, which turned out to be a 1-0 win against Minnesota. Martinez scored. Alonso Martinez, by the way, four goals in the preseason. He looks very, very sharp, and that's good news for New York City FC. But can they get him the ball in a manner and on enough occasions where they can get at least a point on the road? I think this is a very difficult test for New York City under a new manager. We're not sure what the depth is going to be like right now. And if they have to go with a back line that, well, we already know Thiago Martins. I mean, he's got to be very doubtful. He didn't play a second in preseason. So that's a very important man on the back line. And considering who will be attacking the New York City goal, I think it's an arduous task for the road team on this one. So I'm not going to answer any predictions. I'm just going to say it's going to be tough.
Glenn, from the outside looking in, what are your thoughts on Inter Miami this year?
Well, I have to say, I know they have the Chilean center back. I don't know, you know, I haven't studied it. This is good because tomorrow on the plane and then tomorrow night I'll be doing a lot.
Maxi Falcone.
Yeah. So that he's a very good player. Because if you ask me what the weakness of Miami last year, and I would think people that cover the team would all agree, was central defense, their back line. And, if they can secure that area and then continue to attack in the manner that they have, even though they've lost a couple of parts there, it's still, you've got Suarez, Messi, and Busquets, and they're not going to play every minute of every game. We know that. We know Messi's record. He's only played, over 50% of all of Miami's games.
Yep.
So, you know, you're not going to see him every match. But we're going to learn a lot tonight. I mean, obviously, they're going to go for it tonight. It's going to be frigid and all those other things. Well, you know, you saw the players last night, the Colorado LAFC. Everybody had the neck braces, or, you know, the neck woolies on.
Glenn, if I can quickly, Hugo Lloris looked like an icicle out there. He looked like the tallest icicle I've ever seen.
There's a picture, but even better than that, well, there's a couple. Olivier Giroud with ice in his beard, but there's a picture of the referee. I don't know. There's a real close-up, and he's got, like, heavy. I don't know who the referee is. I didn't recognize him because I just kind of skimmed through it, but he's got ice in his eyebrows and his, you know, his face. I mean, his hair. I mean, the conditions were unbelievable. And look, it could be very similar to that tonight. So I don't know how it's all going to go, but because, you know, a frozen field is difficult. But I think they have heat underneath it at Sporting KC Stadium. I think there is heat. There are heat elements under the field, and that helps.
It does. And Glenn, a couple of heads ups here. Fafa Picault, a new transfer for Inter Miami. I think he's going to be huge for the team this year, obviously coming on over from Vancouver. And then Tadio Ashende, the Argentinian forward who came on over on a loan, a $2.5 million loan, Glenn, from Celta Vigo in La Liga. So I think those are two guys that Inter is going to be counting on those games that you mentioned, maybe that Lionel Messi will not be on the pitch. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Once again, Glenn Crooks, the play-by-play announcer for NYCFC. I really appreciate the time. And partner, I got a late one tonight, so when you're watching on your couch, make sure you crack a cold one for me. All right, partner?
All right, man. Enjoy. Good luck with it.
Yep. Thank you very much, Glenn. Appreciate the time. That was Glenn Crooks from NYCFC, the play-by-play man on their side, breaking down that matchup coming up on Saturday. We're going to take a timeout here on Pink Smoke, but coming up, we are going to break down the game coming up tonight. As Glenn and I referenced, it is a cup game tonight for Inter-Miami at Sporting Kansas City. It is supposed to be 4 degrees. It is supposed to be 4 degrees tonight at Sporting Kansas City in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. We will break down that game when we return right here. Pink Smoke, ESPN 106.3 and your Inter-Miami Radio Network.
This is Pink Smoke, live from the ESPN West Palm Studios. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on back, folks, to Pink Smoke here on ESPN 106.3 and your Inter-Miami English Home Radio Network. We got a game tonight. We got Sporting Kansas City facing off against our Inter-Miami Herons. 8 p.m. start time, and I'll tell you what, gonna be a cold one. I hope the boys pack the long sleeves and the neck covers, whatever you got to do to stay warm tonight. Our Herons are going to need it tonight with that 4-degree weather. Let's break down a little bit of what we're going to see from Sporting FC coming on tonight. This is a team, folks, who did not have a good year last year in all terms on the MLS table. They had 31 points on the table. That was 13th out of 15 teams in the Western Conference. But they do have some talent. William Ajada, their top goal scorer last year, had 10 goals in MLS play. And let's not forget about German midfielder Eric Tommy, who had 11 goal and assist contributions last year as well. So those are the two players that you're going to be hooked on tonight on the broadcast on the Sporting FC side. Now, obviously, we don't know the starting lineups yet. The lineups usually come out an hour or a half hour before kickoff, before that ball gets rolling. So we'll keep an eye on who will be in that starting 11 for Sporting Kansas City coming on tonight. Now, this is once again, it's the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And if we want to flip things back on over to the Inter-Miami side, Inter-Miami lost to Monterrey, that is a Liga MX team, in the quarterfinals with a score of 5-2. This is certainly, I think, a cup that Inter-Miami is going to be going for this year. This is a cup that they're going to be trying to win. And I think Inter-Miami is going to treat all of these cup games the same. The Inter-Miami is in a lot of cups this year, as we mentioned in that first segment. And truly, I think that they're going to be trying to put their best foot forward, and certainly best foot forward tonight, the first game right after the preseason. And Inter-Miami 4-0-1, they won four games and drew one game in that preseason on that preseason schedule. Now, I mentioned that we're not going to get the lineups quite yet, but I could assume you're going to see a healthy dose of Luis Suarez, Lionel Messi, Jordi Alba, and Sergio Busquets. That's the big four, on this club. It's what they're called, and it's the four that played together at Barcelona that had success and won trophies at Barcelona. So if I could take Javier Mascherano for face value, those four are going to be in the lineup. I'm interested to see who's going to be coming in off of that left flank, off of that left wing. You have Fafa Picault and Tadio Ashende. Now, Ashende, who I've mentioned, Celta Vigo loan. He is a player with La Liga caliber talent. This is the La Liga, folks, for those of you that don't know, it's the Division One league in Spain. It's where Real Madrid and Barcelona play their league games, La Liga. And this is a forward with that does a lot. He could take you one-on-one. He's clinical in front of net. He could finish. He's a great passer. And I think he's going to bring a lot to the table. But I'm not sure if it's going to be Fafa Picault or Tadio Ashende coming up tonight. I think Telasco Segovia and Busquets, as I mentioned, they're going to be holding down the midfield. I think Busquets is going to be playing that holding defensive mid role. And then I'm interested if it's going to be Redondo tonight or if you're going to see Yannick Bright. And based off of the MLS preview that I read for Inter-Miami, Yannick Bright is probably going to be a player that's going to be in the lineup consistently. He started in that game against Orlando FC, and I do think that Yannick Bright is going to be the one that gets the nod tonight for Javier Mascherano. And then that back line, Alba Martinez, Luan, and then Maxi Falcone. I think Falcone is going to be that second central defender on that defense. And you just got done hearing from our good friend Glenn Crooks of the NYCFC play-by-play. He's on the call for play-by-play. And he said, you know, defense, that back line was the one thing he thought that could have been more from Inter Miami. Now let's go to a familiar face, at least a familiar face the last couple of months, Javier Mascherano. And we're going to get to know the coach here because I think Coach Mascherano has a big game tonight. It's his first game after the preseason. It's a cup game. It's a cup that Inter Miami certainly wants to win. And Javier Mascherano was asked about his coaching style. Let's take a listen to Mascherano and what he had to say about his coaching style.
Obviously, I like to work with intensity in the training sessions. I like my teams play with intensity and courage. But we know what we are starting now, and we need to be calm. No, so we are happy with the guys. They are working a lot, and they are working really well. So we keep going forward.
So that's Mascherano on the kind of coach that he is. What could we could expect from him when he's coaching these lads out there on the pitch? Now let's hear from Mascherano about the style of play, about what we're going to be seeing on the pitch.
Try to have a team that is thinking about in the opposite goal, trying to play in the opposite side, controlling the game with the ball, with the possession, and trying to press as high as possible. That is my idea. I will not change my idea. Obviously, I know that we need to try to adapt to the players that we have. The main thing for us is we play with one ball, and we want the ball. We want to keep the ball. So this is the main thing.
You heard it right there. You know, they're going to be a ball-dominant team. This is going to be a team that's going to want to sit on the ball, get as many chances as possible, and keep the ball on that opposite pitch. And I know Sporting Kansas City not necessarily known for their press. I'm more interested to see Inter Miami face off against NYCFC coming up on Saturday because that is a team that likes to press. As you know, Glenn Crooks told us that NYFC is going to be a pressing team. I'm interested to see how Inter Miami, a ball-dominant team, is going to fare against a team that's going to be pressing the ball and getting after Inter Miami all night. But focusing on the CONCACAF Champions Cup matchup tonight between Sporting Kansas City and Inter Miami, you know, the strengths on Sporting Kansas City, the strengths for them is Dejan Jovicic and William Ajada. Those are the two strikers that we're going to be seeing featured for Sporting Kansas City. Now, they don't play with two strikers. They play with the one. But is it going to be Jovicic tonight, or is it going to be Ajada? Either one is a really good striker and something that Inter Miami is going to have to figure out. Now, the weakness of Sporting Kansas City is the back line, and it's not been good for years. While their defensive mid and goal remain question marks, can they cover the midfield and cover enough ground? That's the weaknesses that I've read about Sporting Kansas City and saw from last year. Is their defense going to be good enough? And certainly Inter Miami is going to be having a lot of attack power being thrown, throwing a lot of attack power at Sporting Kansas City with Suarez, Messi, and company. Not to mention Ashende and possibly Fafa Picault. Telasco Segovia could play up at the other side of the pitch as well. I really like his box-to-box mentality as well, a box-to-box midfielder that could cover ground offensively and defensively and has a threat of scoring a goal. I really do think that if Inter Miami plays their best soccer, this Sporting Kansas City isn't going to stand a chance tonight. But the weather conditions are real. The 4 degrees, I am very interested because, you know, as I've mentioned, Messi, Alba, Busquets, and Suarez, even their coach, Javier Mascherano. Now, Mascherano is not going to be running around on the pitch tonight. He's going to be the tactical genius on the sideline. This has to be the coldest weather that any of these guys have ever played in. Now, I don't want to speak for him. I'm speaking out of term here. I'm hashtag shooting from the hip. But this certainly has to be one of the more cold environments that these guys have ever been in. And It's a thing. It's a real thing. I go back to last night with LAFC and Colorado Rapids. It was 10 degrees in Colorado at Coppertown, Copperville. I apologize if I'm botching the name. Colorado, okay? where they play their games with the Rapids. And LAFC lost that game 2-1. LAFC with Olivier Giroud, with Hugo Lloris. I mean, that's a team. That's a team. And they got caught with their pants down in cold weather. Let's hope Inter Miami is up for the challenge. I think they're going to be up for the challenge because I'm a big believer in Javier Mascherano. Let's focus on Mascherano here as we close out the program. As I've mentioned to you, he played in Barcelona, won trophies. Let's go through his trophies that he won at his time with Barcelona and a la Liverpool. Now, he never won a Champions League with Liverpool or any of these Spanish cups, but I do have to say, he was a centurion for Liverpool. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the word centurion, it is a player who had 100 or more appearances for a single club. 100 or more appearances for a single club. He had 136 appearances for Liverpool, making him a centurion there. And then he was a three-time centurion for Barcelona. 334 appearances for Barcelona. His nickname was El Jefecito, the Little Chief. And he was known for being a tactically intelligent player and one of the world elites at a holding defensive mid position and a center back position. So for those of you unfamiliar with Mascherano's playing career, he started as a defensive mid. He'd go box to box. He'd be a holding defensive mid, whatever the team needed from him. And then he transitioned into a center back role when a couple of those center backs, like Pirlo, for Barcelona, Pirlo, a club legend, or no, Puyol, I'm sorry, Puyol, a club legend at Barcelona. When his time was up, Javier Mascherano stepped up and played center back. So this is a tactical defensive genius, a five-time La Liga champion, five-time Copa del Rey winner, two-time Champions League Cup champion, and a two-time UEFA Super Cup winner, and is second in appearances for the Argentinian national team. And speaking of that Argentinian national team, Javier Mascherano was over there coaching the Argentinian U-20 teams and U-23 teams before he came on over this year to coach our Inter Miami Herons. It is going to be a 8 p.m. start time tonight at Sporting Kansas City in frigid Kansas City, Missouri. 8 p.m. 8 p.m. is going to be when that ball starts rolling, and we're certainly going to be seeing some pretty good soccer tonight from the Inter Miami Herons. Now, the talk with Inter Miami, obviously, is Messi and the Big Four. But, folks, this is episode number one. Episode number one of a tremendous year coming up here for Pink Smoke. This team is a lot more than Lionel Messi, Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, and Luis Suarez. I loved what Javier Mascherano has brought in through the transfer window with Tadio Ashende. I really do think Ashende is going to emerge as one of the best players on Inter Miami this year. And I think with the versatility of Fafa Picault, what Fafa Picault is able to do, I think that they are going to be set offensively, not to mention Maxi Falcone on that back line, the really up-and-coming Chilean player that Inter Miami was able to secure in the market, and plenty, plenty more. This has been Pink Smoke right here on ESPN 106.3. Everyone, enjoy the game tonight. Once again, FS2. You can watch Inter Miami versus Sporting Kansas City on FS2 live from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm Mike Rizzo. I've had a ton of fun with you guys tonight and cannot wait for next week. We will talk to you guys coming up on Saturday when we are live at Chase Stadium with the season opener of the MLS season, Inter Miami versus NYCFC. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. We'll catch up with you Saturday. We'll see you later. Bye.